Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Did Ronda Rousey turn heel on Raw? We will argue that point and give you all of our WWE Fastlane picks. Who should win and who will win? With Greg DeMarco, Miranda Morales, and Patrick O'Dowd on The Greg DeMarco Show.
I mean, you're just going to replace me.
Shut up!
Miranda Morales.
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome!
What is up, everybody? We are live. It is me, Greg DeMarco, and this is The Greg DeMarco Show. It's Tuesday night for those of you that are listening live on Patreon, whatever it's called, as we record The Greg DeMarco Show live, immediately followed by the hashtag Miranda Show, also live for you to listen to. And if you are on Patreon listening, whether it's a new show, an old show, whatever you're doing on the Patreon, we appreciate you and we say thank you. Listen to the Miranda Show. She does a much better job of thanking the patrons than I do. So maybe I'll have to record her doing that. But I am Greg DeMarco. You can follow me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. I'm also available on Facebook and Instagram. In the same place, I am lucky enough to be the publisher for TheChairShot.com, which you can find on all of those forms of social media at TheChairShot.com. And of course, you can visit the site at TheChairShot.com, where we give you all kinds of opinions, analysis, reviews. We don't really do news anymore, and that's why we make fun of it so much here on the show. You can also go to Patreon.com/TheChairShot, sign up for Patreon, get early and ad-free articles, get early access to shows and exclusive shows like the bonus edition of ChairShot Radio, Pod Is More, a new bonus edition of The Outsider's Edge coming soon, and, of course, the hashtag Miranda Show, which we'll be recording later on tonight. Also go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up your ChairShot t-shirts, including the ChairShot Brewery, which should be arriving in my house here shortly, along with Baron Corbin Sucks, which you know is near and dear to my heart. But enough about me, or maybe, I don't know, in my opinion, it's probably never enough about me, but I don't do this show alone. Oh, no. First off, we'll bring, I guess he's probably my ride or die in terms of this show, but I don't even know what that phrase means sometimes. However, he's always been here. He'll always be here. He is, of course, the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
You're at $3.99 on Twitter.
I know. You know, it's been dicey. Went down
you gained,
a couple. Actually, I gained a couple of actual like people.
That's good. It's always good when they're people.
Yeah, I mean, they were clearly like wrestling podcast people who want me to follow their podcast.
That's fine.
I was like, I'll just take the follow. I'll just give you a follow back, man. That's all you get. I'm not gonna do your podcast.
There you go. It's all you got to do. Well, you're there.
I only got time for like two. Yeah.
That is, of course, at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. The Twitter. I just made up a new social
media. Man, you're really
program.
Struggling today. The Patreon. The.
Yeah, well, Twitter. You know. The Patreon. The Twitter. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. The wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Hashtag Patrick400. He's so very close. We should have had Miranda charting that as well as our pay-per-view pick, since it goes up and down.
Right.
We can go back and listen and see where we were at and see, because I know you hit 400, then you like dropped to what, 397 or 398. Now you're back at 399.
Right.
Gotta make it happen. Speaking of Miranda, let's welcome her. She is not on the Twitter at all. You won't find her there. But she is the queen of soft style, Miranda Morales.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Just as you were saying that count, I was looking. I did write down last show that Patrick was at 397. So I will keep it on my notes from now on. Yeah, it's just part of my duty, you know, on this show is to keep some notes. So I think it's an important note. It's an important time in history where we reflect where we're at with Patrick 400.
You had to know that was coming. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that.
What was Marlena's gimmick name in WCW when she was the statistician?
Mrs. Hancock?
No.
That was
Keebler.
That was Stacy Keebler. What was she? She was I gotta look it up now.
Taylor?
But it was Terrence Taylor at the time.
Terrence Taylor, but
Taylor. Oh geez, there's been a lot of Terrence Taylors. Wrestling, we'll do WCW. Oh man, so who the hell was his manager? Oh wait, Alexandra York.
Yes.
There you go.
She'd come up with
York.
Have like the calculations and the stat sheet as to how he was going to beat his next opponent.
And then I remember because they would get into a fight over what move to use and
right.
It was a whole thing.
I mean, the gimmick was rehashed not too long ago.
True.
In a way.
Yeah, in a way, but still not the same.
Not the same.
By the way, just so Miranda can hear it, this is our Adam Pearce soundbite.
Nice try, though.
There you go. It's obviously Adam Pearce. Come on. I mean, it's got to be him.
Yeah.
So before we dive in, you'll notice on your rundown, the Royal Rumble entrance of the week is first. And because the Royal Rumble entrance of the week leads into a couple surprises that I have. So we'll start there, and then we'll have a little bit of fun.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You didn't do the buzzer, Miranda.
Well, I can talk or I can't talk. You can't have it both ways, Greg.
Oh, but it's you know it's your thing though. Like,
it's
your thing
though. You do the buzzer.
Like, and then
okay.
Greg does the buzzer.
Now I know.
No, it's half the battle.
They're gonna put down the rundown too. I mean, jeez.
You need to actually put it down.
That was not the theme song of the week. I was just passing by it. This. Let's just try this again.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That's much better. That makes me so happy.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
So that is the theme song of the week, and that is, of course, The Rock. So that leads me to a couple things that I made for you guys. First off, I made a new show opening, and I didn't want to use the new show opening at the beginning because I want, you know, the immediate reactions and all of that. So, and it does involve The Rock just a little bit. So yeah, and just so it's equal opportunity. So you know, The Rock likes to speak negatively towards people. He spoke negatively towards everyone involved in the program. So except Steve Cook, because that would have taken too long. But you guys ready for the new and improved Rock inspired show opening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take your reactions right after the opening.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Cause it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome!
What happens when I have too much time on my hands?
Clearly.
So let's start with Miranda. Am I allowed to ever use that again?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, okay. I literally grew up just wanting the Rock to insult me. I love it. I mean,
and he did.
Not very many people can call me a tramp, but The Rock, yes, you can, sir. You
I believe
it.
The word he used there was slut. Just to point that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick, what do you thought?
Yeah.
Patrick, good night.
Okay. I like that you doubled up on the Beastie Boys.
Of course. Intergalactic is also one of my favorite songs ever.
Really?
I love it.
I mean,
yeah,
I always knew you to be an ill communication guy, so. Definitely.
When I was graduating college and I was doing job interviews,
right.
Intergalactic was a song that I always played to, like, get fired up for the interview. So.
Sabotage is what I would play after I didn't get hired. Right. Like, you know, I guess it worked.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming, you know, Dwayne gave you permission to use his voice as likeness, so we're good.
Public license, it's fine.
Yeah.
It just sounds like Dwayne. It's not actually Dwayne.
Yeah.
Just sounds
it's
like
not Dwayne. It's The Rock, actually, right?
No.
The Rock.
Okay.
So
or the Croc.
You're not
the Croc
suit or anything, right?
The
Croc.
Croc.
Yeah.
What the Croc is cooking?
If you smell it, yeah. No, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
I'm on board.
So I also made something for Patrick. This was a suggestion, and I'll give credit. This was Andrew Belaz made this suggestion a few months ago, or maybe a few weeks ago, and I just never had the chance to make it. And then, of course, time fell on my lap, and I made it. So, this one's good.
I don't know that I want to hear this.
Oh, you do. You're gonna love it. Everyone's gonna love it. It's so bad, it's good. That's all I'm gonna say. And, sit back, relax, and enjoy the song.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to...
Okay.
To the tunnel of pain. They're never coming back. So I just you know
that. I came to...
Okay.
To get my two pay. I guess you had a dream, but it came out of me.
Okay.
That's good. That's even better live. It took me a long time, Patrick. I just want you to know that. It
took me a long time to splice all that in there, did it?
That's not an easy song to cut up at all. Like, it never really has any breaks in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is... Oh, goodness.
Oh, good.
Don't worry. Good. I will never, ever, ever play that again.
I mean, I'm not going
to
do...
I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to...
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Do you know who the K is? Like, who's saying it?
No, I don't recognize the voice.
It'd be a really hard guess because I just I searched for like the letter K and found different things. That is
right.
Grover from Sesame Street saying the letter K.
That's funny.
Oh after... my gosh, it kind of sounded like a really enthusiastic Patrick. Like you,
no,
I
would never. I think Miranda.
Well,
no, I mean that's not really. I don't have that tone.
No.
Well, I said enthusiastic. I mean, like,
exactly.
If you have, like,
he
higher...
doesn't have that tone. He doesn't
let's
have enthusiastic.
Enthusiasm is not my thing. It's not my game.
No.
By the way, it took a lot of work after initially hearing that first go around to not respond with a K.
Of course.
K. That's what you want.
Okay.
And, like, it's some of it, like, especially the middle one, it's, like, so imperfect that it's just perfect. And,
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
I mean, it is. It's good times.
That took me longer than our new theme song, just to let you know. Like, what? That's how difficult
and
that
I appreciate the I appreciate the dedication that it took for you to rib me on the show. So I'm glad that you doubled down on that that rib. So good work.
Of course. Of course. What do you think? We talk about some wrestling. What do you guys think?
Okay.
Sure.
So, according
to
the internet and lots of reports and everybody watched, Ronda Rousey introduced some new character elements this weekend. Many would say that Ronda Rousey turned heel on Monday Night Raw. And so I want to talk about that because Ronda, her character has always been kind of a polarizing. She, you know, is still learning. She's been in this business for less than a year still, and it's not an easy thing to pick up. And so her promo skills have never been the best. And even in turning heel supposedly last night, I don't know that her promo skills were the best. Well, Patrick, we'll start with you. What did you think of what they did with Ronda Rousey?
I think they let her be a little bit more like herself. And I think that that's one of the things that people tend to forget. I don't know. You know, Ronda was when she was in UFC, she wasn't exactly what's the word I'm looking for, likable. But I don't know that she was necessarily a heel. And I also don't know that outside of, you know, going after the crowd itself and the way that they're behaving, which by the way, Charlotte's doing too. And people love that Charlotte's doing it. So I'm confused. right. It was one of those things. It's like, I think it's a better fit for her. I think that it makes more sense in terms of the whole baddest woman on the planet sort of idea, instead of being the I'm happy to be here and I'm, you know, rah rah. Like that's just not her. And so let her be a little bit more like her. I don't know that that's necessarily full on heel. I don't think she's going to cheat to win. Or anything like that. I think she just cut a little bit more of an honest promo at the fans about their own behavior, which is a heelish thing. Heels tell the truth, by the way. We've talked about this before. But
yes,
until I see her cheat to win a match, I wouldn't say that she's a heel. I would say that she's more being herself and embracing her personality as somebody who honestly in real life doesn't give a fuck about what you all think.
Miranda, what do you think?
Well, I definitely agree with what Patrick was saying as far as that this sounds more like her than that I'm so happy to be here, this is my dream type of thing. She became really popular in MMA because she had a smart mouth and she kicked ass. You know, that's why people loved her, and she didn't come into WWE like that. So I think people were kind of shocked and didn't know what to think of who she was. So now this seems to be a little bit more like her as far as some of her more realistic characteristics. But also I think that it just adds to Becky's dynamic as well, that this will only help Becky now that I guess she has two opposing heels, or at least two people that just people don't like. That brings all the attention onto to Becky, which will help her. But I also got confused about Ronda trying to advocate for Becky in this match. In some ways, to try, you know, like Patrick said, it's not that she's cheating or anything, but it was just a weird thing for her to do. So I'm kind of relieved that they're going in this direction, because this Ronda makes a lot more sense than the Ronda we've been seeing for the past year.
Yeah, it was weird to me too. I mean, Patrick's right when he said it, and we've said it before, and I know Chris Platt, he brings it up all the time. Ronda is not a likable person at all. Like, she's just, it's just who she is, and that's okay. And using this, it makes a whole bunch of sense. But I don't know that she's a heel per se. She interfered in the match at TLC back in December. And did that make her a heel? Like, they booed her out of the building pretty much at the Royal Rumble. That, and again, she treated Sasha like the baby face. And so, I just, to me, Ronda's character is not face or heel. Ronda's character is just, they plucked her out of UFC, and they put her, still a UFC fighter, into WWE. Like, that's how I view Ronda's character. That's her work style.
Right.
That's still what she acts like. She's completely different. She really is like the female Brock Lesnar in a lot more ways than I think people say, only because her style is different. She doesn't matter. She doesn't care. I do think it's a lot like her personality. I honestly think she truly believes she's better than all this, and she's better than this, you know, fake sport, so to speak. And she's, you know, maybe said so much, maybe hasn't said so much, you know, depending on what you believe. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but it's just, to me, I just don't, do we have to pigeonhole her? Do we have to label her face or heel, Patrick? Like, does she need the label?
I don't think she needs the label at all. I think Miranda brought up a good point on it too, about, hey, just let her be a badass. Like, that's really all you need to do, is let her be a badass. Let her talk shit about people, whether that be in promos or on Twitter, where, you know, it's a little more, it can be a little more scripted and but not feel as scripted. And don't worry about whether you're supposed to, whether you think she's supposed to be a good guy or a bad guy. Like, let people boo her if they want to boo her. Let people cheer for her, they want to cheer for her. And just let her go out there and be, like you said, just let her be herself. And let her do this work. And yeah, maybe she does think that she's above it. If that's true, play on that. If you do that, then I think you are full on heel. Like, I think if you're like, you know, you're lucky to have me, which, by the way, they are lucky to have her.
Again, heels tell the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
That to me, if she were to come out and make that kind of promo, like, you should all be grateful that I'm here. You know, I'm doing this out of goodness of my heart, or whatever, however she would do it. I think that then goes into straight up heel territory. But do you necessarily need her to be a heel? No. I think that having her kind of float the line and just be herself and letting people decide how they want to feel about her, works.
Miranda, what do you think? Does she need the label? Does anyone need the label?
She doesn't need the label, but this is wrestling, and the foundation of wrestling, or a huge part of wrestling, is built on good guys versus bad guys. And some of it is defined by the company or by the organization, and some of it's just defined by the fans. So I think that at one point when Charlotte was originally added and she was the heel, it actually made sense that she was this in-betweener, because you had kind of the spectrum, you know, Charlotte the heel, Becky the face, and that's even two in question because she's an anti-hero face, which is very complex, and then Ronda kind of in the middle. But now you have her in this territory where she still could be considered this in-between, but her actions are leaning more towards heel. And again, in the fans' perspective, if you're either with Becky or you're against her. And so with Ronda now, you know, literally taking Becky and ripping her arm off and really hurting her, she's just now going to be a heel in the eyes of the fans. But I'm glad that at least WWE is just letting things roll. They're not at least pushing this face on her. They're just letting her just be this badass. Whatever the fans decide is going to be what the fans decide. But at least just allowing Ronda to just be more true to herself is a better fit for the story than making her someone she's not.
I agree with you on a lot of those points. And Patrick got booted, but he's on his way back. But the WWE, and me and Patrick and I have talked about this before. I don't think that everybody falls into the face heel dynamic per se. I think there's a lot of baby faces, a lot of heels, and then a lot that are kind of in the middle. And I think that's okay. There are some really good heels. Charlotte, really good heel. Daniel Bryan, great heel. There are some really strong baby faces. Look at Kofi Kingston right now. Like R-Truth is a baby face. Carmella is a baby face. But then there's in between, and we've defined this before on this show, long before Miranda was ever on, this like third level, which was like a fighter. Like you just fight whoever, and it doesn't matter who you're against and cross the ring with. And Roman for a long time was basically that. Like it didn't matter who he was in there with. They were going to, you know, use him.
He wasn't a bad guy or a good guy.
He was the guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's okay, and I think it's fine to have some people there. Like Kevin Owens returning, he's not really a babyface or a heel. He's just a guy who's fighting to put food on the table is basically his character, and it's just a matter of time before you start showing those you know, quote-unquote heelish tendencies. He's more of the fighter, and I think that's okay for people to be, but I feel like it's actually the company is more fine with it than the fans are. And I think it's more the hardcore fans that just need this well-defined face and heel. I know the casuals care because the casuals are just there to have fun and watch people beat people up and get involved in the storylines. And they may not watch it for a month. And then they're going to come back in and be like, oh, yeah, we still hate Baron Corbin because everybody hates Baron Corbin because he sucks. And that's just what they – I just feel like we overcomplicate it sometimes by wanting to frame everybody in a certain way. And then we is not necessarily the three of us, but we is like the internet fan. Patrick, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. And from what I gather from coming back in, I think you said a lot of what I wanted to jump in with too, and that the idea that everybody's a face and a heel died with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, period. Actually, yeah. you could make an argument that it died with the Four Horsemen. Because they were straight up bad guys, with the Horsemen.
Yeah.
Like, with the Four Horsemen. Because they were bad guys, but fuck, people loved them. Like, loved everything about them, and they did whatever they wanted, especially later on. So this idea, I think that you pointed out, Greg, I think that there's a subset of people that need to be able to do it. And I don't even think it's a need so that they're able to watch it. I do think a big part of it is a need to be smart about, you know, or feel smart about the business and feel smart about being able to say, this is what this is. And it's because people who complain about who's the good guy or who's the bad guy aren't listening to the story or aren't watching the story and seeing it unfold. And they're so hung up on this intricacy of what this should be that they're not really paying attention to what it is. And I see that out of a lot of, like, I think it's no mystery. We listen to, a lot of us listen to some other podcasts. We listen to the Conrad Johnson ones. One of the things that struck me was some of these older guys and the way they talk, whether it's Pritchard, whether it's Bischoff, or even Schiavone, they all talk about how they don't like wrestling without a defined good guy and bad guy, as if that's the only way that you can be entertained. And they have some good points about the inherent problem with it, but I also don't think that, I think they also take a very narrow view of storytelling, and that there's an evolution, for lack of a better way to describe it, that takes place there.
Yeah. I'm heavily distracted. Can I tell you why I'm heavily distracted?
Is there a naked woman in your room?
No, better.
Oh.
Yes, way better than that. Dave Meltzer just came after me on Twitter.
Did he really?
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah. This is more like sound the alarm. Wow, look at you, you made it.
I wondered if he was going to get back to me.
He sure. He just came after me, claiming he never said what everyone knows he said. So, yeah.
Well, you have a catalog of back issues. You should remind him that you don't subscribe to him.
Yeah, and I never will.
right.
Which means, here's the thing. He gets mentioned and quoted and whatever a million times, which means someone sent this to him.
I bet someone
sent it to him. Because remember, Miranda doesn't know this, but Patrick remembers, there was a time when we had our own thread about our show on the Wrestling Observer message board because we were railing so hard. And also my articles at 411 Mania. And I found out about that from a subscriber at the time. It was like, you know, you have your own thread. I was like, this is amazing. So, you know, I'm happy as can be about this. So thank you, Dave Meltzer.
You made it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he made it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the likes, too. Oh, you're only at two right now. I feel like I want to jump in and be like, yeah, don't listen to that DeMarco asshole.
Do it. I'll retweet that one.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Listen to this podcast. They know what you're talking about. And then I'll put a link to our show.
Yeah. Everyone should listen to it to hear all of the bullshit on it. Great.
I mean, he waited to respond to you how many hours later?
Well, I think he just found it. I really do. Like.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Because you, I do love you talking about Peyton Royce. That was a nice touch too.
I'm sure that's probably what got him too. So.
Right. This is like 20. Yeah. This is a day ago. He posted this yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Got it.
I went after him.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Oh.
And I'm sure he'll block me, and that's fine. Let him block me. Welcome.
He's going after everybody too, because now he went after Uptown Marcus Brown over again. I never said that.
So he's going after he is vanity searching. You're right.
Yeah, he's vanity searching. He's looking himself up and he's defending his shit. So go, Dave. You do you.
Yes, but I'm sorry. I derailed things for personal gain. I should not have done that. I guess The Rock was right. I will forever be an asshole. But
you are.
Yeah.
You can tweet.
But I'll bring it back.
Here comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns. The big dog. And we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight in Phoenix, Arizona with the big dog.
Do you want to just transition? I mean,
because
I don't think we have enough time to fight over the face heel thing.
No.
Because we got other stuff to do.
Is it really
and,
a fight?
And
I don't know. I don't think it is,
to be honest with you. I think it was less of a fight than I expected it to be.
Were you expecting something bigger?
Yeah, I was.
I was ready for a fight.
I was. I was ready for a fight, and I got one. Just got it from Dave Meltzer. So, yeah.
Right.
Meltz won. Both of you guys zero. There you go.
Oh, no, I took the L.
From Dave Meltzer. So anyway, yeah, the transition is basically covering something that, you know, we've been talking about. So, yeah, let's transition.
Agencies around the world are receiving breaking news that CM Punk has sneezed while at a hockey game, which clearly indicates he has signed a new contract with WWE. He then confirmed his return by tweeting something completely unrelated to wrestling. Backstage sources believe he'll come back at SummerSlam, but plans may change.
Patrick, this is Leigh Emery, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick Adele.
Oh, no, just no. Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
The Wrestling Realist Patrick O'Dowd's Bullshit Internet Report of the Week.
All right, Patrick, have at it. The floor.
All right, so we're.
By the way, just want to point out, in the minutes that that's happened, my tweet has jumped in likes, and I'm gaining a ton of new followers on Twitter.
Atta boy.
Yes.
And people are also running to Dave's defense all at the same time. But still, it's going to be a positive. It's a net gain in the end.
Right. So indeed. we're gonna stay on the Ronda Rousey train. How do you like that? What do you think?
Love it.
All right. So this I had to go back and look because it was from a few days ago. But back on Friday, for most of you in the Wayback Machine, you'll recall there was a little bit of a Twitter spat going on between Ronda and Becky Lynch, and some pretty like intense tweeting taking place. I personally loved it, but our friends over at Diva Dirt posted a report on Friday that even the headline alone is wonderful. Sources say Ronda Rousey worked herself into a shoot.
That's a great headline.
Lauren Founds apparently found this. I'm just going to read the first couple paragraphs because the rest of it is just a long thread of the tweets since Raw. So, sources within the WWE and close to Diva Dirt have learned Ronda Rousey is legitimately pissed off at Becky Lynch following the social media feud. It seems the two women have worked themselves into a shoot. Sean Ross at Fightful confirms the validity of the information, so she does name somebody, good on you, adding, beyond that, Rousey's terminology on the microphone is widely known in WWE to be confusing and anticlimactic. Everyone we've spoken to within the company believes that Rousey's frustration is real. And then they take us back to where it all begins and runs through a litany of the whole thing and shares all the tweets. Oh, but at the very end, and then the last paragraph. If I was a betting woman, this is when when Rousey lost it and tweeted, Rebecca Quinn, I don't care what the script says. I'm beating the living shit out of you the next time I see you. Because she used Becky's shoot name while referencing script, shit, and it isn't a very WWE-friendly word.
Of course. So there's so many ways. So let's – okay. First thing I want to do is we're on Twitter.
Right.
You know, we're all there. And it's changed – well, I was going to have you look something up, but now I can't because the person has changed it. For a long – before Becky Lynch's Twitter name, not the handle but the name, was The Man. Do you remember what it was?
It was Rebecca Quinn.
It was Rebecca Quinn. And until like earlier last week, Nia Jax had her real name in her Twitter. I mean – this whole Lana before us had CJ Perry list in her Twitter. I mean, that's nothing new. So if she's willing to use her name on Twitter, there's really nothing wrong with, you know, trying to use it in a storyline. Here's the second thing. So in the tweet where we think Ronda supposedly lost it, when she called her Rebecca Quinn, and she said she was going to beat the shit out of her when she saw her again.
Oh, the living shit. The living
shit. It was the living shit, yeah. So what happened when Becky and Ronda were in the same ring on Raw on Monday night?
She beat the living shit out of Rebecca Quinn.
Right. Went full-on MMA, different style punches, different style everything. WWE uses Twitter to extend the story beyond Monday and Tuesday to connect it to the following Monday and Tuesday. Like, this is nothing new. I think I should write an article on this article and say that, you know, sources tell me Lauren Founds has worked herself into a shoot because this is what the fans are doing. They're working themselves into a shoot thinking that this stuff is real. And then, but they refuse to give WWE credit for doing it.
No, yeah, they won't. You know that.
Miranda,
yeah,
what do you think?
Because, I mean, they're not that smart, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, one, I was trying to look up the shirt that Becky Lynch put on her Twitter. Was it the I Own Ronnie shirt? I'm wondering, you know, is Ronda Rousey getting some residuals on that shirt? Like, is she in on that shirt? Because I'd be pissed,
probably,
too, you know. You say you own me, but I'm not, okay, you know. So that's not necessary. That's more of a work, you know. I mean, Becky wears the shirt. She gets, you know, pretty popular. Ronda gets some money. Everybody wins. but, I mean, sorry. I mean, this whole feud has been built on Twitter for months. And so I think now they have to take it in a different direction because they've kind of done this for a while now. And if you keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, people are going to lose interest. So I think adding kind of a curveball with some, you know, more intense language, some different statements, maybe throwing some things that get people talking is exactly the fuel that this feud needs. Maybe it was just kind of more of a creative risk in order to keep the flame burning.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a brilliant job of it. Here's my thing. Can we all assume that the three-way is going to be the main event at WrestleMania? Like, can we all just go forward with that assumption?
I mean, I'm willing to go there.
So yeah. Assuming that, it's the first ever all-women's main event at WrestleMania. You got to think that Triple H has his hands in every single piece of the process. And if a tweet goes out, he knows about it. He's talking about it. Half of these tweets, they're probably sitting next to each other when they do, or they're, you know, DMing each other with what to say. I mean,
ooh,
I've been
great.
Backstage, and I've literally watched wrestlers suggest to other wrestlers, say this about me. Like, if Patrick and I ever decided that we were going to, like, fake this fight online and get in this big feud, we'd feed each other stuff all day. And,
right.
and we'd okay it. Like, that's how these things work. But it's like what Patrick said earlier, when everybody wants to be smart and everybody wants to come off as smart. And so from there, they want to then believe this is real, or if they don't believe it's real, then they're going to talk about why. I mean, there's so many things that come up all because people just want to be the smart fan, and it takes away from their enjoyment of the product. But this report, I mean, if we had three to pick from like we used to do on occasion, I'd probably
great.
Still pick this one as the worst.
Great. Can I tell you what my favorite part about this really long
yeah.
thing is? That not only do we have this whole speculation like and what they think about Ronda Rousey, this person also doubles down on the other rumored piece that of information that came out about Ronda Rousey not too long ago about her hiatus from the company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, the best thing for Ronda to do is take a break after the pay-per-view and let the dust settle.
Of course.
Which she may well do, but it's not because she's running away from pissing people off. I just think that people don't understand. In this day and age, it's like the realism isn't real. But you know
no.
what I mean? And I think that that's it fascinates me is that there's, you know, in addition to being smart, there is a desire to want to be worked. And I really think that's what it is that they want to be worked and want to be worked into believing that this is something more than it is. And again, just enjoy the story, man. Just enjoy what's going on here. Because this is great.
Well, kind of a weird but somewhat related analogy, kind of believing in Santa Claus, you know. We all know that he doesn't exist, but we kind of want to believe in the magic of him. I think there's
sure.
been so much that's been revealed behind the scenes of wrestling with general social media, with reality shows, all of that, where you still want to believe in the magic of wrestling, but you've seen too much behind the scenes where you're very skeptical about things. So that's where, you know, fans question what's a work and what isn't, or wanting to believe something is when it's not.
But I'm going to push back on that a little bit, because at the end of the day, again, wrestling is a story, and it is
mm-hmm.
telling a story. And so the idea that you have a window into the process, the right, like, I believe firmly that, you know, we have had more of the curtain pulled back than ever imagined, and it has changed the way that people view the show. I understand that. But I think that sometimes there's such a steadfast, like, you're right, I know Santa Claus isn't real, but I enjoy the story of Santa Claus. I enjoy the story of telling Santa Claus. These people aren't even doing that. Like, and that's what's drives me crazy with this, is that these reports don't then lead people to be like, oh, hey, this was this great story in the way that it was told, or this is whatever. Like they're refusing to, it's more like they're looking at the one tree and not the whole freaking forest. And that's what I find fascinating about these sites and these reports, and then the way that fans react and respond to them, because plenty of fans, and Diva Dirt is a known website, very well known website, and people are going to run with this, and you know, for the next 20 years on whatever Conrad Thompson's Divas or Women's Division podcast is, he's going to have somebody on there having to repeatedly refute. It'll be Dana Warriors podcast, and she'll be refuting Ronda Rousey's heat backstage and her frustration about Rebecca Quinn.
Here's what I love, and I'll, you know, by the way, Dave Meltzer now blocks me on Twitter. So
congratulations,
because I replied to the tweet with
record time.
So yeah, I'm sure it's not record time. He probably blocked a bunch of people because he was going after people. She does go into quote Sean Ross Sapp, and I will say this: I've gone after Sean Ross Sapp before. He's come after me before. He and I have had many an argument about the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 storyline. He insists, he insists on being wrong, and that's fine. But I know for a fact he does know a person or two backstage, as do I, and that's fine. Just don't use them. And he has got a few things right. So assuming that's true, and I'm willing to, this whole everyone we've spoken to within the company believes that Rousey's frustration is real, and Ronda Rousey's terminology in the microphone is widely known in WWE to be confusing and anticlimactic. So his source has worked themselves into a shoot then, is basically what he's admitting. And if these people in the company know that her terminology is widely known to be confusing and anticlimactic, why aren't they helping her? It's the dumbest thing ever.
Greg, they hadn't hired Bruce Pritchard back. Bruce is going to fix it. They hadn't hired Dana Warrior and her vast amounts of promo experience to teach her how to give a good promo.
Yes, she's fast. It's just, this whole thing is just stupid. Oh, I know you can. If we had more time, we would argue about that topic, but we're not going to. And then it would end with you just saying K and getting mad at me, and it'd be fine. And then, that's what would happen. It'd be great. It just people are working. It's WrestleMania season, obviously. Like, it's WrestleMania. Because here's the thing.
Most wonderful time of the year.
Saying that these things are fake and all that, this is a no-no. But yet, Monday night on Raw, Triple H had a long diatribe about Richard Flair. So, I mean, isn't that a no-no as well? But it's okay because it's Triple H and it's a story we like. So, the fans
and,
are just,
and he's also the godfather. He's also the godfather of NXT, which brought us everything great. So he gets a pass.
Right. He's also
people get a pass.
The original shooter.
Right.
Yes.
He's not the original shooter. But.
No, it's Brian Pillman.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's kind of interesting. Long, long time ago, he was part of one of the most controversial stories with the curtain call, and now it's normal. It's interesting how things evolve.
He's the guy who told CM Punk, go ahead and call me Paul Levesque on television. So it's this is what they do. And like Patrick, it's WrestleMania season. This is when we do these things. This is when we blur the lines. This is when we make people believe, and then we deliver the big moment. They're going to deliver the big moment at WrestleMania. This is going to be the happiest WrestleMania ever, by the way. It's literally going to be faces over, like all over the place. And that's what they want to do. And that's fine. Let them do it. But let's transition yet again, because I'm sure Miranda has some conspiracy theories to share with everybody. Take it away.
Yes, so I know we've just spent the past 10 minutes talking about how this particular story was bullshit. However, I'm going to spin this on its axis. I'm going to kind of flip the script because why not? One thing that I noticed when reading these stories about Ronda Rousey and kind of her approach to all of this is she's gotten to live a childhood dream. You know, she came to the WWE saying how much, stating how much she was a fan as a kid. You know, she, I mean, got to wear Roddy Piper's jacket on her first appearance. You know, she's modeled a lot of her career after him. She's been able to kind of dominate the women's division and take up a lot of great storylines on Raw and just WWE in general. However, this whole, you know, feud with Becky Lynch has kind of flipped everything around. You know, she came in as this hero. People loved her. People adored her, which is not something that she got a whole lot of from MMA. You know, people liked her, but people just didn't absolutely adore her. She didn't have, you know, all these little girls wearing Rowdy Ronda Rousey, you know, merchandise and people cheering for her. And that becomes infectious. You know, the love of the crowd gets infectious. And so when this whole feud with Becky Lynch started and she just started to get owned on Twitter, things just started a downhill spiral. And yes, I think that some of this, her Twitter, her tweets, and some of her attitude, especially now, shows that, you know, playtime is over. She came in thinking this was going to be great, and now seeing the reality of it, it's not so much as picture perfect as she thought it was going to be. I relate this a lot to a bunch of kids playing make-believe, playing pretend. And you know, all of you have that one friend who always got butt hurt when something didn't go their way and threw up their hands in the air and said, forget about this. I'm done playing. It's pretend anyways. Maybe this is what she's trying to do on Twitter. Throw her hands up and say, I don't care anymore. This is all fake anyways. So that when and if she does take some time off, it isn't going to hurt her longevity because she could say, I was just playing along. It's make-believe anyway.
I can't argue against any of that. I think it sounds legit to me.
Right.
Patrick, you don't buy it?
Right.
Awesome! I came to...
Okay.
There's a price to pay. It's time for you to get down on your knees. I came to...
Okay. Okay. Okay.
The first one took me off guard. Like, I forgot it was going to be there for a second.
I thought, wow.
You made the
damn
video.
Yeah, well, you know.
I got an all right and not a K. So that, now that's interesting.
The K was for Patrick,
yeah.
Not agreeing with you.
But,
yeah, you're confusing her, Greg. You can't do that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. Patrick didn't. All right, we're going to transition.
No, I'm just
let's get ready to rumble! Because we're approaching the 1 hour mark, and we still got to do some picks. So we got to do some fast lane picks. So, does that work for you guys? I mean, it kind of has to.
Yeah,
sure.
Hopefully we can do this.
It's part of the show.
Man, Miranda's rushing everybody all of a sudden. No, we got this is Patrick's last early week. I thought last week was the last early week, but I had my time change mixed up.
No, this week.
Yep, that's right. So we're talking some fast lane. We're going to talk who should win, who will win. We still haven't talked about getting the overall standings. Did we do that? Or are we just going to wait till next week? Which is fine if we do. It's all good.
The only thing I'm missing is I don't have your NXT Phoenix picks. I tried going on the chat, but I don't have those. So
okay.
I can't
I'll
properly calculate overall. Okay.
I'll send you
yes.
the link.
If someone
yeah.
goes on thechairshot.com and send it to me, you'll be great. Thank you.
You'll find it for you. Got to search for Royal Rumble because you put them in the same article. So that's.
Oh, no wonder. Okay.
If you search for Royal Rumble staff picks, you'll find it. Or I think it's staff
okay.
picks. Yeah. But we won't worry about that now because we got Fastlane to talk about. So, of course, we're going to do the who should win, who will win. And Miranda will keep track and we'll have lots of fun that way. On the kickoff show, we have Andrade going one on one with Rey Mysterio. Miranda, we'll let you go first, but can you properly pronounce Andrade?
Andrade.
Yeah, right. Perfect. Just like El Puche Grande. Who you got?
Yes, sure. I'm going to actually go with Andrade. I think that he's had some really great momentum. I love that. I saw clips of the match on SmackDown tonight, and hopefully, I mean, we continue to get this back and forth, but I really think that this win will help Andrade immensely. I also have my own theories about a possible team / faction with Rey and Andrade. That's for another topic another day, but that's my pick.
We still do factions outside of the Shield?
No. It's a new day.
So is that, are you doing, you got me.
Are you doing Shield and Will for both?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Patrick, what do you think?
This has been a lot of fun to watch between these two. But between these two, the one who needs to take the step forward is Andrade. So I agree with Miranda. I think Andrade should win. And I think he does.
I think Andrade should win as well. I don't know if this extends to WrestleMania, if they do some kind of a multi-person match. They're involved in WrestleMania. I don't know. But I'm going to say that Rey wins. I think Rey's going to win. I think Andrade should win. I'll pick Rey to pick up the win and extend this thing forward, because Andrade can just get his heat back on SmackDown on Tuesday, and I'd be fine with that. So
you're
moving
just trying
on.
To get your wins back.
Yeah, well, you know, got to do what you can.
Yeah, you know.
Supposedly, I did pull you know, gain some ground with the last pay-per-view. So,
attaboy.
According to what Miranda was saying. So, yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
The SmackDown brand tag team championships are defended once again as the Usos defend their titles against the team of Shane McMahon and The Miz. Patrick, we'll let you go first this time.
I mean, at this point, shouldn't we just call it the Uso heavyweight championship on SmackDown? Because that's really what it is. Like, you know, it's just their own title. The story that they're telling right now with Shane and The Miz tells me that the Usos should win due to some problems between Shane and The Miz. And I'm actually going to run with that pick, too. I think that that's what they're going to do. I think that the Usos win because the Shane McMahon-Miz team implodes.
All right. Miranda?
Totally agree. I think that they're going to just keep the belts on the Usos. Again, alluding to SmackDown, there was some interesting developments as far as other teams showing up to SmackDown. So I think that may move a little bit more towards WrestleMania. Shane and Miz is going to be their own thing. So Usos should and will win.
I agree with you. I think that the Usos should win. I think the Usos will win. I also think that WrestleMania is going to have 27 matches on it, the way that we're treading right now. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. Just one step closer to the two-night WrestleMania that I've been asking for a few years now. So we will get there. Now we'll go to a different tag team championship. Well, they didn't have time for the seven-hour marathon they did last year. So move it to Saturday as well so people can go to work on Monday. Anyway, the Women's Tag Team Championships will be defended as Sasha Banks and Bayley make their defense against Nia Jax and Tamina. I will go first this time. You know, I was among those who picked Nia Jax and Tamina to win in the Chamber and then, of course, lose them to the Boston Hug Connection to WrestleMania. That didn't happen. Now it makes absolutely no sense for Sasha and Bayley to lose the championships at this point. Should carry them to and out of WrestleMania. I will say that Sasha and Bayley should win, and they will win. Miranda?
Totally agree, because, hey, we want some Bayley.
No, you want some Bayley. Not we, you.
I know. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm a mark. What can I say?
Patrick might, too. I shouldn't speak for Patrick.
What's that?
But you do.
You might want
but
some Bayley.
Do.
I might, but I don't.
classic. Boston Hug Connection forever.
Well, I'll go as far as to say not forever, but this time around, yes. they
good
should
enough.
Win, and you're absolutely right. They just won the damn things. You don't pull that strap off right away.
And he's right. It's not forever because we all know how tag team booking works in WWE.
Right.
They will feud again. That's how things
someday.
Go along. Keeping with the theme of hashtag save tag team wrestling, which you can, of course, buy at the chair at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, we have the Revival defending those Raw Tag Team Championships against Bobby Roode and Chad Gable and Aleister Black and Ricochet. Miranda, will you go first?
This is an interesting one because the Revival have just been buried. It's a good burial as far as, you know, they have a history between at least DIY, Aleister Black and Ricochet, not so much, but it's just been kind of interesting to see how they won these belts and they've just got beaten ever since. So I actually would like the Revival to win to, you know, be able to kind of justify being tag champions, but I think we're going to get swerved and we'll see Aleister Black and Ricochet win the belt.
Did you just say it was a good burial? Is that possible? Is it possible to have a good burial?
No, I don't. That word. You're using that word. I don't think that it means what you think that it means.
Patrick, pick.
This is actually hard, and part of me wants to say that this goes to a no contest, but that doesn't happen on pay-per-views anymore. And eventually leads to the point that I think it was Miranda made, that there's a lot of tag teams that showed up and have been showing up at SmackDown lately, which leads me to believe that there might be a wonderful way too many tag team pre-show tag team title match. So the winner of this match doesn't really matter. That being said, Aleister Black and Ricochet are beating everybody and their brother right now to get put over and built as tag team title contenders. They are the shiny new toy. The Revival haven't had the tag titles very long. I feel like the Revival should retain. But I don't buy it that they're going to retain. And I think that Aleister Black and Ricochet somehow get the momentum rocket of it. Well, they're just the tag team title, so we can give it to them, and it's a good little push to continue their momentum towards WrestleMania, and, you know, Revival be damned. So I'm going to go with Aleister Black and Ricochet, but I don't feel overly confident with any one of these teams winning it.
Yeah, it's hard to pick this one. I'm on board that the Revival should win. Do they win? That's a tough question.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to say that I'm going to go with the Revival. I'm going to pick the Revival to win, only because I can't figure out who else to pick. I don't see Roode and Gable winning it. I think Aleister Black and Ricochet might end up in a triple threat match with Finn Balor at WrestleMania, just because I don't know what else they're going to do with him.
Right,
kind of makes sense.
It's such a random tag team to put together if you follow NXT. This is one of those things that makes NXT fans be like, they don't know what to do with NXT talent. They're just doing this.
Well, it's funny because it's just cycled. I mean, the first ever, you know, Dusty Rhodes Classic in NXT was won by Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. So you know, this is what they do. And I think they're moving towards Black and Ricochet being in the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic and possibly challenging War Machine at TakeOver. So there's
there
a lot of – or War Raiders, excuse
there's
me.
That.
Wrong
yeah.
company. But I just, you know, when in doubt, I'm really going to pick the Revival. They'll probably lose, but it's all good.
I actually – you know what? But I think it's a solid pick, Greg. I don't think that there's any good pick. Like, the reason it took me so long to make a pick is because I was waffling between those two. But any one of these teams wins, and it's acceptable because they can easily drop the title at WrestleMania during the pre-show when they're buried there.
Yeah.
Yes, those are all very true. I don't think anybody can argue against those points. But we will shift over to the next match where we have The Shield, which, if you don't know, is Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose, facing the team of Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and
it's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks. That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
I mean, come on. Shield should win. Shield will win, Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, it fucking Reigns beat cancer. You don't lose on your first match. You don't lose on your first match after beating cancer. Like, it's just not how it works.
Miranda.
Yes, ditto to what Patrick said, but then now forever, Shield mark right here. Yeah, you just don't go through all that and have them lose. So a feel-good moment, the band back together for possibly one last time. Shield wins.
There's no such thing as one last time.
Stop it.
Not with the Shield.
Stop it. You follow wrestling. Jeez.
Even if Ambrose goes away, it comes back.
Are you calling Roman Reigns a liar? Because, you know, that's
100%.
What he said.
Yeah. I am 100% calling Roman Reigns a liar.
I am calling Roman Reigns a storyteller. I'm not calling him a liar. I'm calling him a storyteller.
He's a storyteller, yeah.
Remember that time that The Rock and John Cena was one time only?
Once in a lifetime.
Never before. Never again.
It was twice in a lifetime.
Yeah.
That's right. But I will give them credit for how they – I mean, they did have the one way to make that. Like, nowadays, they would just do it. Like Ronda gives up the belt and then just takes it back. And she was like, no, Stephanie, you misunderstood me. Like, that was Ronda's excuse for still being champion. Rock winning the title. Yeah, exactly. No, I didn't say you could have it. I just put it at your feet because I wanted to change your mind.
I would give it up.
But I just wanted you to make the match, and I'm champion. I'm champion, dang it. Don't
you
take it away from
me.
You don't bother me.
We're not being mean to you. We're making fun of Ronda Rousey here. What the hell? Like, when did this become ripping on you?
We just expect you to know better.
Like,
that title sure does cover up those beautiful abs of yours. I'll make you a deal. You show me your abs, and I'll show you.
Go away, Leo. It's still one of my favorite drops in a long time. It was not about you, Miranda. I know you think it was, but it wasn't.
Oh.
I promise.
Conspiracy theory.
You're just talking about your conjecture.
So the SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line as Asuka defends her title against Mandy Rose. I'll go first. Of course Mandy Rose should win. I mean, come on. Like there's no more obvious should pick in the history of the world than Mandy Rose. But Asuka will win. Patrick?
I disagree that Mandy should win. That's just, you know, you.
No, that's
Asuka
just
should...
horseshit.
Whatever. Asuka should win. Asuka will win. Yes, Asuka will FTW.
Miranda.
I do also believe that Asuka should win. She hasn't been champion for that long, and she needs to have a really good title defense here, which I'm going to keep an open mind with Mandy. Asuka should and will win. Sorry.
You keep an open mind with Mandy. I keep an open door policy with Mandy.
Stop it.
No, I won't stop it. Twitter is just the best tonight. So I told you guys earlier about how someone said that Mandy Rose versus Asuka has the worst build, and I replied with Seth versus Brock says hi. Well, now someone else jumped in and said, inform me, the build starts after Fastlane, dipshit. So there you go.
Called you dipshit?
Yep, called me dipshit. I'm going to retweet
that. But the Royal Rumble happened, and the Royal Rumble is the
exactly. Exactly. The Royal Rumble was in January.
Right. It's been that way for years.
Dipshit. There we go.
Wait. Oh, you're responding. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I called him a dipshit in response. Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch. So at one point, this was briefly for the Raw Women's Championship before Ronda Rousey was like, nah. And then Miranda got mad at us and thought we were talking about her. And now it's more basically if Becky wins, she's in the match. If Becky loses, she gone. No WrestleMania for you. Nothing else. So Miranda, I'll let you go first.
I'm going to say that who should and will win is the man, Becky Lynch. This is
what?
This is how,
shocked.
Yeah. Shocking. I know. But this is how we get to WrestleMania. This is how we get the triple threat match. This is what we've been building towards since Becky lost her slot. So, who should win, who will win, who will go to WrestleMania? Becky Lynch.
I'm eating. Sorry, Patrick.
I'll short and sweet. Becky should win. Becky will win.
100%. I mean, it would make no sense otherwise. Part of me wants Charlotte to win just to see the internet go crazy, because you know they'd still work Becky into the match somehow, and the build to this match has been absolutely insane. And so why not have? You know what? Charlotte wins. I'm picking Charlotte to win.
All right.
Are you really
LOL Charlotte wins? LOL Charlotte wins, yes. LOL Charlotte wins, because why not at this point? Because they would still get out of it. I mean, they've gotten out of it so many other times already. Like, they would find a way. Why not give one more speed bump on the road to WrestleMania? Speaking of speed bump on the road to WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan will defend the WWE Championship against Kevin Owens. In the match that probably would have been the main event of Fastlane until Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch was announced. Two SmackDown competitors being announced for a match, by the way. So Daniel Bryan defends against Kevin Owens. Patrick O'Dowd.
The returning Kevin Owens is nice. I think that Daniel Bryan, as the Hemp champion, still has legs. I think it has legs beyond this. I believe, regardless, that Daniel Bryan should win. And I think that Daniel Bryan will win. I think this keeps going so that Kofi can beat him at Mania.
Miranda?
I agree. I'm still, you know, kind of feeling this new Kevin Owens. We've seen him be, and again, I know you may not like this, you know, the economy of heel and face. Well, he's been a heel for, you know, for as long as we've known him within WWE. And so, I mean, I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's in the title picture. I think in the long run, that's going to be wonderful for his career and helpful for maybe, you know, whoever may win the title at WrestleMania and that kind of longevity. But ultimately, this is all about the new Daniel Bryan. So he should win, and he will win.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Bryan should win this match. And Kevin Owens, by the way, falls into that category of someone who actually was an effective heel when he was a heel. I didn't say nobody could be face or heel. I just said that not everyone has to be face or heel.
I'm just saying you're not a big fan of the dichotomy of face and heel.
I'm not a big fan of the need for the dichotomy of face and heel. But we'll talk about that
then, I guess.
That's
so you got a whole After Dark show that you could have this fight on, by the way.
No. instead, we're going to talk about eBay or something like we did last week.
I'm just saying, Patreon fans, if you want to listen to Miranda and Greg argue about this, listen to the Miranda show after the Greg DeMarco show.
According to one of the Dave Meltzer defenders, no one cares about my stupid Patreon. So.
Oh, that's right.
That was amazing.
He just tweeted at him to make money.
That's right.
Which,
yes.
Again, this is the wrestling business, so of course you're in it to make money. Stop
yes.
it.
Yes, and by the way, I'm also a dipshit, so it's okay.
Well, you are a dipshit, but everybody do that. Like, that guy didn't share anything.
Not for that reason. However, I will accept that, but I will not accept it for that reason. So.
Right, or from that guy.
Yes, I will accept it from you. I would accept it from Miranda. I would accept it from my own children. I will not accept it from that guy on Twitter. So, I mean, New Day has promised to be at Fastlane, and there could be some crazy way where New Day interference actually causes Kevin Owens to win, but it would and should and will are going to be – or excuse me, should and will are going to be Daniel Bryan. I just can't really advocate for anything else, and I'm not going to play the advocate soundbite. And you know what? I think we're going to skip the match game this week. I think we're going to give match game a week off. Anyone's going to be upset about that if we give match game a week off. What we will not give a week off.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Patrick, we made our podcasting debut in late May of 2011. It is now early March of 2019, and this is the first time I've ever used the search feature on the sound bites.
Really?
And it's made my life a whole lot easier today. I just want to point that out.
That's huge.
I knew it was there. It's been there, I think, since they came out with the new studio, because kind of like, you know, Twitter will change sometimes. They changed the studio at one point. Miranda, Twitter's this program. Never mind. Don't worry about it. King Kong Bundy passed away, and that's what we're going to talk about in 3 minute warning. And I know I want Patrick to go first. So, because I asked
you if I could talk about it. King Kong Bundy was the first heel that scared me, like legitimately scared me. Like, I was a kid, like, you know, in the 80s,
yeah.
when he didn't see the first WrestleMania I ever watched, WrestleMania 3, but when I walked back and watched other WrestleManias, WrestleMania 2, and Bundy being a fixture around in other companies, he was just this. He was a big, scary dude, had this very unique look, and I legitimately thought he could kill people by just like squishing them, like, and I bought that, like. You know, I thought he was in WrestleMania 3. I thought he was going to legitimately destroy a little person. And he just has this, he had this very unique presence. And then if you really want to gain a new appreciation for King Kong Bundy, go back. And I've talked about WCCW a lot, World Class Championship Wrestling. He was huge as a heel and a monster heel against the Von Erichs in World Class in the early 80s. Before being, you know, signed by Vince and being part of the World Wrestling Federation, or in the territory days in the NWA, you can even see odd footage of him with hair, which will blow your mind because it does completely change his dynamic. But he was just this fascinating, big, intimidating guy who could use his size well, knew what he needed to do. Could cut a pretty decent monster promo. Like, I liked a lot of his WCCW promos that he would give back in the day, and kind of doing some rewatches. I didn't shed a tear over King Kong Bundy, but I think that he's one of those people that really doesn't get the kind of appreciation as a monster because of folks like Andre turning heel at around the same time.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Like, he was that heel. I started watching a little before the first WrestleMania, but WrestleMania 2, I mean, I was really into it. That was before, you know, when Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff turned on Hulk Hogan, and I sided with Mr. Wonderful, and it changed everything for me. It was before then. So for me, it was really, you know, I was rooting for Hogan. I remember watching WrestleMania 2 on VHS and still being worried that Bundy was going to win the cage match. Even though I knew Hogan won the cage match. Like, this is what 7-year-old Greg DeMarco thought, or whatever, however old that was. Funny aside, and I had to look it up to find the name of this. For some reason, I can't look at King Kong Bundy and not think of Ram Man from He-Man. Like, that's
absolutely.
Just,
he has no neck. He has no neck.
Right?
So weird. He has zero neck. How did he turn his head? He just turned his shoulders. Because he couldn't turn. He didn't have a neck to turn. He's so huge.
Oh, my goodness. He had some of the best ring names ever, too. He was Big Daddy Bundy. He was Boom Boom Bundy. I mean, come
on. Boom Boom Bundy. Yep.
There's nothing better.
That's when he had the hair. That's when he had the
hair. Boom Boom Bundy. Like, that might be. Boom Boom Bundy. Had Boom Boom Bundy debuted sometime after 2011, he would have been Brodus Clay.
About to get funky up in here.
Shut up!
was I'm
he
really quick
was
with
he,
the searching now too. It's great.
Right. Was he Boom Boom with the Crockett promotion? Was that in Mid-South or not Mid-South? Georgia.
Let me look. Let me see right here.
Because he was definitely King Kong Bundy in Texas. He was definitely King Kong Bundy, world class.
Oh wow! I didn't even know this. What I just read about him. He wrestled his first ever WWF match under the name Chris Canyon.
No.
Crazy. Yeah.
Who better?
How nuts is that?
Who better?
Who better? Exactly. Boom Boom Bundy is listed as a moniker, but nowhere in any of the articles does it actually talk about Boom Boom Bundy. But
he wrestled for Crockett. He had the hair. I remember that. Oh wow. I just don't remember. And it wasn't King Kong Bundy. He didn't have the King Kong Bundy name for a while.
Yeah, it doesn't talk about the name he used there. It just talks about, you know, he competed in various territories such as the American Wrestling Association and the National Wrestling Alliance, which is also where he began the five-count gimmick. He began the five-count gimmick in Mid-South, which makes perfect sense.
On a side note, Enzo.
Oh, God, I know.
Oh, God.
He's confusing him with George Animal Steel. That's so
good.
Oh, God. One thing I just want to note, too, is, you know, he had a lot of just, you know, some decent crossover success. I mean, I think one of the reasons why, you know, this news went viral on a lot of news channels and formats of news was because he was such a recognizable wrestler from the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. And one thing I learned, I had heard about this, but I didn't really know, somewhat solidified today, that the creators of Married with Children named the family the Bundys because of their love of King Kong Bundy, and that was just, you know, something, I don't know, I had heard fables about, but didn't even, you know, put the two together. But I think that anyone who saw a picture of him, one, I remember, as a kid, you know, looking at him and thinking, that guy was huge and fairly scary. But he just had that recognizable character that whether you were a fan or not, everyone knew. And that speaks to a wrestler. That speaks to, you know, their legend and notoriety. So, it's a big deal.
Since we're all over the Wikipedia, I'm just going to, you know, what I love, and this should come as a surprise to no one, is the fact that he became King Kong Bundy, started wearing the black singlet, and lost his hair, all in world class. Like that
right.
just,
yep.
you know,
that's where
talk about, happens. You know, the booking. I mean, that's when everyone had to be a face or a heel. Like that was, there was nothing else possible. Like that was back in the day, there were faces and there were heels, and most heels had managers and most faces didn't. Like that's, yeah, that was back when faces were faces and heels were heels. And I will admit that and accept that with 100% happiness. So yeah, King Kong Bundy passed away. Rest in peace. You know, big part of our fandom. So, and unfortunately, another one. You know, it's just going to keep happening, which is just sad. I mean, that's just, you know, the age people hit, and that's where we are historically.
He was only 61.
I know.
He was. I mean, like really, in the grand scheme, I mean, I didn't realize he was that much younger than Flair. Like Flair's 70. Like he just turned 70. I thought he was.
He'll never die, so that's okay.
Yeah. Like, well, he's.
Yeah, Ric Flair's a whole other
well
story.
Preserved. He is. He definitely is.
A lot of chemicals
so.
In there.
Yeah, maybe Bundy should have thought about that. So.
Okay, we should stop this.
We should. We really, really should. It's a good call on your part, Patrick. Good call. Good call. So there you go. That's the Greg DeMarco show for this week. So, yeah, I'm at Greg DeMarco. Or excuse me, no, I'm not. I'm at Chairshot Greg on the Twitter. I never was able to get Greg DeMarco. Somebody else took it and never used it. Miranda's not on Twitter. And, of course, Patrick O'Dowd is at Wrestling Realist, WrestlingRealist, on the Twitter, hashtag Patrick400 continues. Still at $3.99. Maybe you can tweet in support of Dave Meltzer. Maybe Meltzer will follow you, and he can be number 400.
That's not a follow I want, though.
Lucky 400.
Like, why would you give me that? Why would I want
that? beggars can't be choosers. At the, well, not that you're begging.
I'm
you're not begging.
You're really begging. You're the one with the hashtag, man.
I'm begging for you. I know.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that's it for this week. So, let me we'll see how we do in the standings when we come in next week. And let me – I need to – I'm just going to find – there's one good way to play you out this week, Patrick O'Dowd. So, yeah, if you're listening live, stick around for the hashtag Miranda Show, and we will say goodbye to Patrick in a very fun way.
America, 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 fuck yeah.
Just made the list. Would you shut the hell up? Shut up!